Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf test. We're holding at the very top of the Yomid. Brand new Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah. Ein choshin shema girra chulda mi bayis la bayis u mi mokim la mokoyim. What happens? I'm in the middle of Bedikas Chametz on Bedikas Chametz night. I've completed the Chametz. Or in fact, Rashi says I might be in the middle. I just checked out one room or one corner. It looks spotless, not a drop of Chametz, and I move on to the next corner or to the next room. You know what? Unfortunately, there are chuldas, there are weasels around. And whilst I'm not looking, maybe the weasel went and weaseled his way back to that corner or that room that I've already inspected, and he dropped off some chametz there. Does that mean I have to go back and check again? Says the Mishnah, no, ein choshin, you don't have to worry about that. Because if you start worrying about from corner to corner, room to room, house to house, Says the Mishnah, "Dimkein mechotz lechotz meir leir, ein ledaber soif." What happens, for instance, by chotz lechotz? Says Rashi, your neighbor has completely been bodik chametz; it's spotless. I haven't been bodik chametz yet, and therefore I still have a piece of chametz here and there and everywhere. And then the weasel comes and says, "Hey, you know the neighbor has no chametz. Let me go and bring him some chametz. I'll bring him my special Thanksgiving party present." He comes to me. He goes and schleps away a couple of pieces of rolls and pieces of bread, and he's going to deposit it in my neighbor's home where he has already made a full-fledged bedika. Or ear to ear, the whole city of New York has already been cleansed from all chametz. And then there's a weasel who lives next door in New Jersey, and he says, I'm going to bring some chametz back. I can't live without chametz. And he brings some chametz into the city. Does that mean the whole city has to start being boitik again? Same with the Basaf, you don't have to worry about it. Of course, if you have a chulda that is drainzach in your home day by day by day by day, that it's a real situation. But an occasional chulda that might come and might bring chametz, you don't have to worry. Let's look at the Rashi, top Rashi. When I finished going and checking out one particular corner, and I now I'm going into the second corner, I don't have to worry during that period of time when I'm traipsing over from the first corner to the other corner. Maybe gira chulda chametz lemakom habaduk. Maybe a weasel came and brought brand new chametz into that place which I've already checked. No, you don't have to go and be choiz reboidik. He did it one time. It's gonna. Why says Rashi M. Kain? She bosa lochish lekach. Hari gam mechotz lechotzer yesh loy mekach. Ani bedakti koydum lachaveri. I'm always an early riser, so already 6 o'clock in the evening, I already took care of the whole chametz from 6 to 7. My chaver comes back late from the office or from yeshiva, and he only arrives at 7 o'clock, and now he's going to be boitik. La'acha b'dikasi, do I have to worry? Hey, via chulda chametz mechotzer chaveri lechatzeri, that maybe a chulda went and brought some chametz from my chaver's house to my house. Ve'ilu d'masoif. And then Rashi points out, "V'lav chotzer mamish kamar." Even though the Mishnah uses the expression "chotzer lechotzer," it doesn't really mean chotzer lechotzer. And the kolbati hachotzer kori chotzer. Why does Rashi add that? What would be shlech to go and say it's taka from Reuven's chotzer to Shimon's chotzer? Why does Rashi say it doesn't really mean the chotzer? He means the bottom, the houses in the chotzer. And the chayyim is a double pasha. The reason why Rashi says that, because yesterday we said in the Gemara, you don't have to be boidik chotzer. Ha'amarava chotzer eina tricha bedika memnesha orvin mitzuyin sham. You have the crows and the ravens that are coming by and they eat up everything. So you don't have to do a bedika. So why does the Mishnah say, oh, Yankel made a bedika in his chotzer, but I didn't make a bedika yet? You don't make a bedika in the chotzer at all. So that's why Rashi points out, we don't mean mamish the chotzer, we mean the batim sheba chotzer. Yeah, I'm going to push it. Okay, Zokti Moriyat. We started the Mishnah. You don't have to be choshesh. Time of the lechazina de shakal. That's because I did not see any weasels around, so I don't have to worry. But hachazina de shakal, if in fact I saw a weasel walking around all over, chayshinan uboy bedika, then I'd have to be concerned because I see that there is a weasel that's going around. And the losh of the Gemara is time of the lechazina de shakal. I didn't see that the chulda took a piece of chametz. But if I saw that the weasel took the shakal, he took a piece of chametz, then I have to be boi bedika. Freiti morva mai neima achlesei. Why do I assume that the weasel stole a piece of chametz and dragged it to another place and deposited it somewhere else, if he took the piece of chametz, he probably meant to eat it. And he probably ate it up already. So I don't have to go and be bodek. Miloy Tanan, didn't we learn by the famous case of the Medurais Hu Akum? This is a Mishnah Mesechtes Eholois. The word Medura comes from the word Dira, that if I have moved into a new apartment that was previously resided by a goy, in other words, the previous resident was a goy, then I have to assume that the apartment is Temeim. I have to do a full-fledged bedika up and down, back and forth, to make sure there is no tumah in this dira. Now, what tumah could there possibly be? As we'll see momentarily, we are concerned that perhaps the goy, he lived with a woman, they had a fetus of a miscarriage, and instead of taking that miscarriage and burying it or doing whatever they would want to do with it, they buried it in their living room underneath the carpet. They dug a little bit of a hole and they inserted it there, and then shamtei kvurusa, and they put up a small little matzevala for this fetus. I'm kidding, they didn't put up a matzevala. But the point is that they perhaps buried such a fetus in their home, and such a fetus, if it's more than 40 days into the pregnancy, has a din of tumah. And Rashi points out that even though there is a popular misconception that a goy is not mitame, that is, a dead goy is not mitame, says Rashi, that is not accurate. Rather, if you're talking about tumas oihel, oihel means that you have the body inside an oil, then there's a machloikis whether or not there is tumas oil by a goyish dead body. However, if you're talking about maga umasa, touching or moving a dead body, then even a goy is also metami the exact same way as a Jew. So therefore, says the Braisa, says the Mishnah, Medudu sa'akim tmeim, you have to assume that if your new apartment was previously rented or used by a goy, you have to assume that there is tumah there. How long did the goy have to live there that you have to be choshesh that maybe there's tumah? He had to live there at least arboim yoim for 40 days. Because if it was less than 40 days, then you could just assume, even if there is a fetus, the fetus is not metame. It's got to be k'day yetziras havlad. Less than 40 days is just considered to be like a discharge, and it's not considered to be a nafel, a miscarriage. And that being the case, if the previous tenant was there for at least 40 days, you have to assume that there might be a nafel. Moreover, says the Mishnah, v'afu pish ein le'isha, even if the person who lived there was a bachelor, you still have to be concerned. And the reason is, says Rashi, because maybe he was engaging in znus. In other words, he was living with a woman even outside of marriage. So, we have to be concerned that there is a fetus there. Now, why did we bring this Mishnah? For the Sefer. B'chol makom shechulda v'chazi yecholin lahaloich ein tzarech bediko. However, if this is the type of residence where there are weasels in the neighborhood, and there are chazerim, the type that have four legs in the neighborhood, ein tzarech bediko, you don't have to worry about it, because we're going to assume that the chulda smelled the fetus and removed it from the rishus and took it outside, number one, to help out the Jew so that he wouldn't have to worry about tumas oil that there'd be a fetus there, but number two, because presumably he was hungry and he took it out, or she took it out, and therefore there's no fetus left. So what do I see from this? I see that if there's a fetus around and there's a chulda around, ain't tzarech bedika. You don't have to be boidik and assume that chulda did a great job in the removal of the evidence. So why don't you say the same thing? In our Mishnah, we're being medayik that stafka because I didn't see a chulda, I don't have to worry about it. But if there was a chulda around, I gotta make a new bedika. There in Mesechtes Eholos, if there's a chulda around, I don't have to make a bedika. Here we're assuming that chulda left chometz straggling around somewhere, be boidik again. In the case of the Mishnah Eholos, if I saw a chulda with a fetus, I don't have to worry about it. It's a done deal. It's a chastira. So the Gemara gives two truths. Amr Abzeir Lekasha, Habab Basar, v'ha b'lechem. The basal ain't meshaira, b'lechem meshaira. In other words, when you're talking about a chulda has a wonderful appetite and knows the difference between gluten products and between flesh, between meat. And when you talk about a fetus, as far as the chulda is concerned, that's a piece of meat. I'm going to go and lick my fingers or my claws or whatever they have, because they're going to enjoy it so much. Ah, delicious. Blechem, no, a piece of bread. I don't want to wash. I don't want to have to bench. You know, and then, so he might go and schlep away the lechem and only eat half.
Stop.
And only eat a half of a slice and leave the other half a slice behind. And as a result, that's why I have to be noivis and I have to make a new b'dik. It's bebasal l'mishayra. When the chulda is osek in the fetus, he's not going to leave anything behind, so therefore there's no tumor behind. But lechem, there's a good chance he'll only eat part of it, and he'll leave some of it behind. And therefore, if you saw a weasel with a piece of lechem, you have to do a brand new bedik.
It's also likely with that with the fetus that he'll leave things behind. Some bones, some pieces that aren't, you know, tasty.
If you were talking about a fetus in later life, in other words, it's already 7 or 8 months into pregnancy, you're right. Maybe you're talking about... Exactly, it's mostly liquid. So Rabba says, I don't really understand the question in the first place. Really, the kasha is not a kasha. Because Bishloi Mahosam, in the case of the goy that previously lived in that residence, Eimer Hava, Eimer Loi Hava. I don't know for a fact that there's a fetus there. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. Because after all, maybe he didn't live with a woman there. And even if he did, maybe she didn't get pregnant. And even if she did, maybe she didn't miscarry. So there are a whole bunch of, and even if she did miscarry, do I know for a fact that miscarriage was after 40 days? And even if it was after 40 days, do I know for a fact that the fetus is buried here in this house? There's so many questions. V'imtim t'loimer hava. Even in fact, if there is a fetus, a machlasay, maybe the weasel came and removed it. So therefore, you have what we call a suffix and a suffix. The suffix is, was there a fetus here in the first place? Maybe yes, maybe not. To do away with that suffix, we say, it's taka. I'm in doubt. I don't know what the situation is. But if the chulda came, maybe the chulda took it, maybe the chulda didn't take it. So one suffix goes and counteracts and counterbalances and neutralizes the first suffix. The suffix tumma that I have, I will assume has been consumed literally as well as figuratively by the chulda, by the weasel, that has taken away the problem. No more fetus. Avalach, in our case, devadai dechazina deshokal. Remember, the kash of the Gemara was not from the Lashon HaMishnah itself. It was from the Diak. When don't I have to worry about the weasel when I didn't see a weasel? But if I saw a weasel holding a piece of bread, then I have to be worried. Here is a vadai. I know for sure I have on YouTube, it went viral. I have here a weasel that's holding a piece of bread in its claws and is smiling from here to Canarsie. You see, ha ha ha, Yidlach, you thought you did a great bedikas chametz. Guess what? I got a piece of bread in my hand, and he's very proud of it. So now the question is, miyema de achlasay or not? What did the chulda do after that with the piece of bread? Did he have to just throw it down on the ground, or did he actually consume it? I don't know. Have a sofik uvadai. Then sofik moitzi midei vadai. When I know for sure that there's chametz, and there's a 50-50 chance that maybe the weasel ate it up, maybe didn't eat it up, that possibility that the chulda ate it up is not enough to remove the vadai that I know for sure that he was holding chametz. Okay, a very, very nice teret. In the case of the modor huakim, there might have been a fetus, maybe not. So the whole thing is doubtful. In case, in fact, there was a fetus, I rely on the fact that there was also a weasel that took care of it and cleaned up the mess. But over here, it's not a suffix. Here I know for sure that the weasel was holding a piece of bread. Did he eat it? Didn't eat it. That's already ain't suffix. Moitzim devate. Freit imara. Vein suffix. Moitzim devate. Vatanya. Chavr shemeis. V'iniach magura malaya peirois. V'afilu heim b'nei yoyman harin mecheskes mesukonin. We had this Gemara earlier on in the Masechta, and it comes up a number of times in Shas. You're talking about Rachmon Litzlan, a chover means an erlich yid, Shemeis, the Nebuch passed away. On the day that he passed away was also the day that he finished off part of the harvest, and he finished off processing the particular grain or the particular fruit for purposes of what we call gemar melacha. As we'll see, as we're going to continue in this brisa, there are two requirements to cause new fruits or new vegetables or new grain to have a chiyuv of giving trumos u'maisris. What two requirements are there? One is what we call gemar melacha. Gemar melacha means we are finished with processing these new crops, these new grains. And then there's something else called roye penei abayis. Roye penei abayis means that you have now brought it within your home and it's ready to be consumed, ready to be eaten. And it's got to be in that order. In other words, first it has to be that it was gemar melacha, that you finished the processing, you did the processing out in the field, and now you bring it into your home, and now it is mechuyev betrumos u'maisris. Aha. Okay, so you have a chover who is a farmer, and he took care of processing the grain. For instance, if you were talking about grain, it's not enough that you just go and cut the grain. You have to remove the chaff. You have to go and do the winnowing. You have to do the threshing. You have to go and do all the processes involved in producing grain. As you know, when we go to the bakery or we go to the store and we buy a loaf of bread, there's been a lot of work that has taken place to get to this finished product. So here too, the finished product in this case was not the bread, but it was either wheat that is now adaptable, that it can easily be used by the kitchen help to go and make it now into cake or into bread or whatever it happens to be. And or you're talking about peiros, that you had peiros that you cut from a tree, and that also required a certain amount of processing in terms of presumably cleaning it or taking off some of the leaves or whatever. Anyway, the point is that now when you brought it into your home, it is now mechuyev betrumos u'maisris. Says the Braisa, if the farmer that was in charge was a chover, was an erlich yid, and he brought v'niach megura and he left as part of his estate a megura, Rashi says a megura is a goren. Goren we normally translate as a granary or a storage where you put your foods. But here, says Rashi, we're talking about a megura betoch habayis. So therefore, it's probably more similar to what we would call today a pantry, where you have store some of your food items. Okay, even if it's a malaya peiros, even if they were finished today, in other words, you can tell that they're brand new, the delivery came in this morning, and they're there on the shelves in the pantry, and now Nebuch the Chover passed away, and I cannot ask him, Yankel HaChover, please tell me, did you give Trumas and Maestris? You don't have to worry. You can eat it without going and giving one grain, one piece, one gurisht, not to the Kohen, not to the Levi. You don't have to take anything to Yerushalayim. You can assume everything was taken care of. There's no question that it's tevel. After all, it's a finished product. I see it. It's brand new. It was brought in this morning. Hani peiri, it's tevel. V'safik musar, v'safik loy musar. And there's a 50-50 chance. Maybe the chover gave ma'isa, maybe he didn't. After all, it's his last day on this earth. Maybe he had a chance to go and give the trumas and ma'isas. Maybe he didn't have a chance to give trumas and ma'isas. And nevertheless, the Braisa says very emphatically, they're mecheskas misukonin. You have nothing to worry about. Uktani, uvikaasi, suffik, umoitsim devadai. So now you have a classic case of a suffik. Suffik means, did the chover give? Did he not give the trumas and ma'isas? And he's moitsi, and we neutralize the concern that this was tevel. At one point in time, it was certainly tevel, because the payers are done, they're all processed, they're inside the house, all of the requirements have been met, so it's certainly tevel. And therefore, I should say, good chance, good likelihood that this chover didn't give the maestris. No, for sure he gave the maestris. What's a for sure? It's a suffix. Ain't suffix moisimidei vadai. And the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one is Hasam Vadei Uvadehu. In the case of the Tevel and the Chover, it's two Vadoim. Why is it two Vadoim? The Vadei Mi Asri Kirbchanina Choizo. You said that it's Vadei Tevel. You're right, it's Vadei Tevel. But I'm telling you, it's Vadei Gemaisert. Vadei that the Chover gave Trumas and Maisers. What's the Raya? Like Kirbchanina Choizo, the Kirbchanina Choizo. Chazak al chover shein moitzim tachas yod ido v'shein ha-mesukan. When you're talking about a chover, ne'edach id, he has a special chazaka, and his chazaka is anything and everything that he touches, he made sure to go and be mesakin, to go and take care of. He would never allow, even for 5 minutes, that there should be any tevel in his home. So as soon as they brought it in, you can be sure that the first thing that he did was, he said, okay, now let's try to make a cheshbon, what percentage for truma, what percentage for meiser, and meiser rishon, and meiser sheni, and meiser oni, if it's his third year or sixth year, etc. He took care of everything. So it's not a question of a suffik be moitzi midei vadai, it's a vadai and a vadai. And therefore, no kasha. The boy you say, there's another pshat, not that it's a vadi and vadi, but it's a suffik v'suffiku. Even if you tell me that, after all, you know, chavri tzaka tzadik and erlechid and fine and git and voil, but maybe he was doing other things at that time, and he didn't get around to it. He was going to go and do it that night. He was going to do it the next morning. But unfortunately, halach lo'imot, Kadosh Baruch Hu pulled away his neshama. So it's a suffik. But even the status of the tavel is a suffik. Because maybe it never became tevel to be mechuyev in trumas and maisus. What do you mean? It's automatically tevel as soon as it's created, as soon as it grows. No. Marim odem al tvu asoy umachnise b'moitshelo kidei shetehei behemtei oicheles ubtura min ha-maiser. What does Rabbi Yishia tell us? Rabbi Yishia says that, like all rules, there are exceptions to the rule. And there is a legal loophole where you could go and have a situation where your tvua, your brand new crops, are not mechuyev in trumois or maestres. The specific case that Rabbi Yishia gives is that a person, for instance, takes in tvua. Tvua, that's in our case, means grain. And he brings it in b'moichela with the chaff still attached to it. So it did not have a gemar malacha, it was not finally processed. As we said before, that an item should become mechuyev betumas ha-maisris, it has to have two requirements. Number one, gemar malacha, final processing. And subsequent to that, meaning step number two is, you bring it into your home. And it's got to be in that order. What this person over here did was in reverse order. He had someone bring in tefuah into his home, which was not finally processed yet. It was roi p'nei abayis, but no gemar malach. Even if subsequently we do a gemar malach at home and we remove the moitz, and now it looks pristine, it's pure, it's great, it's beautiful, it's not mechuyiv in trumas ha-maisris min ha-toira, only midraban. And therefore, Rashi says, a person would not be able to go and eat from it bikvius, he could eat from it derech aroi. If you wanted to take a snack, take out a kernel and go and chew it, like chewing gum, that would be permissible. However, bikvius, to go and sit down in a meal, midrabonon, it's awesome. However, you can give your behemah to eat, and Rashi says you can give your behemah bikvius. Now did you call the behemahs and say, okay, it's time for dinner. Come, all you behemoths, come. And you put out for them in the feeding trough all of this brand new tvua, and you can give it turim and a maisa. You do not have to give trumas a maisa from it because he brought it in b'moit shalom. But that's only behemoths. If you wanted to go and serve it at a meal, I'm sorry?
Not all behemoths would eat it.
The chamor Pinchas ben Yor wouldn't eat it. But the other chamorim were not as
from.
As particular. Oh, they were not so makbid. Very good. Anyway, so therefore, Ptum and a Meiser, but for an Odom, he would not be able to eat a Bekvius, but he could eat a Bederech Haroi. Okay, so that's in the case of Machnisim Moichelot. And then Rashi brings another case, which many people are familiar with, because Gemara brings it a number of times, that there's another legal loophole, and that is you can take all of your tefuah and process it to the nth degree, and instead of bringing it roa p'nei abayis, you can go and bring it through the back alley, through the chimney, through the derech gagois, chatzeres v'karfivois, exactly through the skylight, through the back door, through a tunnel, through the roof, etc., just not through the front door. And if you do that, once again, it does not get a shame tevel min ha-Torah, it only gets a shem tevel midraban. Okay, so that's the case of the tvua there. So now getting back to our Gemara over here, what the Gemara is saying is, I come on the scene and I see something terrible. Nebuch, this chover, passed away. He's lying on the ground. At the same time, I see there's a Megura Malaya Peirois. Okay, we took care of, the Chevra Kadisha took care of the mess. There was a beautiful Avaya, wonderful Hespedim that took 5 or 6 hours, and then they had the Shiva and all the rest. But what about the Peirois? Can I eat from the Peirois, yes or no? So the Braisa says, yes, it was a chover. Why? It was certainly Tevel, these are brand new Peirois, I can see on them, they're shining, they're brand new, and you're telling me that the chover gave Trumas and Maestris? Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Ain't Sofik Moitzim Edei Vadai L'Chor, I should have to give Trumas and Maestris. So the first teretz was that this chover you can rely on to the nth degree, that if there were new Peirois, he took care of it. It's a vade metavada. The second shot is, I don't even know for sure that these Peirois were mechuyev betevel, because although now they look pristine and pretty, maybe when they were brought in yesterday or a week ago, they still had all of that chaff around them, and therefore they were not mechuyev in trumas and maestros. Eventually they processed it and they took all the chaff off, and now today it looks beautiful. No chiyev in trumas and maestros. So therefore, maybe the chover didn't give trumas and maestros because he didn't have to, and therefore it's a safik metasafik. And therefore, says the Braiser, you're allowed to eat it lechatchila, even bikvius. In the previous case about the moichela, only the behemoths can eat it bikvius, not bnei odom. Why? Because in that case, I know for sure that the situation was machnisim moichela. He brought it in b'moitz, and I don't know what happened subsequently. Yotzinish, did he give trumas and maizer? Did he not? Midrabanan. Because midrabban you have to give midrabban your potter. So therefore, I don't know. So don't eat a bnei odom, can't eat a bekvias, but the behemoth can be kvias. But getting back to our case, where there was a chover, so you're right, it was taka safik, but the strength of the chover's conviction and commitment is such that safik is moitzi midei safik, and therefore harihem becheses misukanin, you can even eat it lechatchila without any concerns of true misamaisus.
Second part is puzzling.
Right.
Because the chover, as you said, he's a chazaka, whatever he does, is betikun properly.
Right.
He died, and he had a whole charade to void it.
Good. So the answer to that question is, maybe there are other balabatim here too. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was the one that brought it in b'maitshula. It could be that he had a son, or a cousin, or a partner that wanted to avoid trumas and maisers, and the chover was sleeping, or he was learning the daf very intensely, and now the other person, Schnell, brings in all the tefuah b'maitshula. The chover wakes up and says, what did you do? Because of that, he had a son. And then first he went and removed all the chaff to make it all nice and clean and get ready to
all
go.
Kind of universe.
But unfortunately, before he had a chance to do anything, halach
leilam. Once you remove the chaff, then it doesn't come back.
It's mechuyev midrabanan, but not minatoya. Okay.
So it comes in with the chaff.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed not bekviyas to eat it.
Right, midrabanan, because rabanan mechayev b'chum semais. Midrabanan said derech haroi, you can still eat it because you didn't do a gemar malach yet. Right. But now that you have the gemar malach, then the chacham say you can no longer eat it bekviyas.
Uh-huh.
Only you can give to your animal. But if you add to the mix that there was also a chover involved, then you can assume that the chover took care of the trumas and maizes midrabanan, and so therefore even a person can go and eat it now bekvias because my chover took care of it. Safik moitz v'dei safik. Good. Zokti mar maitze. But I'll bring you another case. Ain't safik moitz v'dei vadai. Votanya, another case. Zokti braise omer b'yehuda. Maize b'shiv chosei shel meitzik echad berimayin. The word meitzik, says Rashi, means he was inish alma. Inish alma means he was a very strong man. His muscular biceps really were very impressive. And you have the shivcha berimayin. Rimayin is the name of a place. Sheitila nefil abar. Unfortunately, there was a miscarriage, and she threw the nefil into the bar. The last Tosis talks about whether it was her own nefil, the Shivcha's own nefil, or she's cleaning up the mess of her gevirta, of her mistress, that unfortunately had a miscarriage, and the mistress said, Shivcha, take care of it, and she buried the nefil in and put it into a bar. Now the question is, either the Shivcha or the mistress has to start being concerned about Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Because you all know from the beginning of Parshas Ki Sazria, when we learned Masechtas Nida, we dealt with this almost a daily basis, that a Yoledes of a Zachar has 7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Tahar. And then, after the Malois, and you have to go and bring a car. Or, if it's in the Keva, everything is double. Meaning, 2 weeks of Tumah, and then 66 days of Tahar. And then she has to go and bring a carb. Okay, now I want to know, what's the story of this Shifcha or the Givirta? Is she Muteris Labala after 7 days, or do you have to wait for 14 days? So somebody has to check out the fetus and see whether it was a Zohar or an Akeva. So guess what? A koyin went, the hated boy, and he looked down to the bottom of the bar, laid him zacharhu in the kevi, to see what the gender was of that fetus. And the maisa came before the chum, the tiharu, and they said, the koyin is tahar. Meaning, I don't know about the woman, whether or not she has 7 and 33, or 14 and 66, but as far as the koyin is concerned, he's tahar. But why shouldn't the koyin be tahar? Because the koyin went and he was mild. He went and looked inside that boir down below. So to look into the boir, obviously you have to go and extend your head over the hole to look inside. And guess what? If there was a fetus down below and he is putting his head over the boir, so then I got a problem of being mild a la mess. So you should be tamei. But the Chum said he's tar. You know why? Because there was a Chuldu Bardalis. Chuldu is a weasel. Bardalis is from the same weasel family, Mitzuyin Shem, that they were around. And therefore, you can assume that if there was a fetus, that the Chuldu and Bardalis, they cleaned up the mess and nothing to worry about. Cleaned up the mess. Tarti mashma. We said on the Omid Aleph that there was a Nefil here, right? So I know for sure there was a nefel. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, I have over here the chulda, and I don't know what the chulda did. And I ask, chuldala, please tell me what happened. And the chulda is silent, refuses to go and describe the situation. So what's it did? Maybe yom, maybe nish, because he's suffering a moitz with a vaday, and we say that this koyin is tohoir. How can I say the koyin is tohoir? Is at least a 50-50 chance that there was a nafel over there. She said, yeah, but there was a chulda. I know for sure that there was a nafel because she put the nafel into the bar. That's what we said. Now, maybe the chulda schlep, maybe the chulda didn't schlep. And you're saying, I can rely on the maybe to go and counteract and neutralize the vadai tumma. Is the case of a safik. Safik moitzi midei vadai. By the way, why was there a koyin looking into the bar? Why didn't they send a Yisrael to look inside the bar? And then you wouldn't have to worry about him becoming tamei. Okay, it's not good for a koyin, for a Yisrael to become tamei, but there's no isur involved. A koyin is not allowed to metamei to chas v'shalom to a mess unless it's a mess mitzvah. That's the first passing in Parshas Emor. Emel kahana b'nei Aharon, l'nefesh l'yitama b'yamav. They're not going to be metamet to any mess. So why was this koyin looking into the bar? Oh, so the answer is, because the next pasuk continues on, l'aviv l'imay l'yachav l'choysoy. Oh, it's a different story. If you have an immediate family member, then the koyin is allowed to be metamet. And apparently this baby, especially if it was from the gevirta, from the mistress, as opposed to the shifcha, this mistress may have been his mother. And therefore, the child that was born, or the fetus that was miscarried, may have been his brother or his sister. So he figures, I'm allowed to be metame, and I'll determine the gender, and I'll tell mommy what the story is. But this koyin, unfortunately, was an ama aretz, because the din of being metame to a koroiv only applies if it's a bar kayoma. Bar kayoma means that the person lived, not if there was a miscarriage or a stillborn. If it was a nafel, then there is no din of tumas. That's why you'll notice Rashi sits at the very top. The koyin is meitzit al svasabar, laid him zochar nekeva, the koyin karv, he was a koyin karv. Otherwise, why is the koyin getting involved? Or mebnei abayis, so maybe he was a member of the household, and therefore they said, Yankel, do us a favor, take a look. But the inyan of the karv is, even if he lives across the street or across town, he is a korov, and therefore he wants to know what's the story with this nafel. He considers himself, he's allowed to be metamei lames. But he's an amoritz. And therefore, if you look on the toisis, on the Omid Aleph, the last four lines of the toisis, four lines before the end, The Kohen Shoy Tahaya. The Afilu Im Nema Shel Gevir Tahaya. Even if you say that this child was Shel Gevir Tah, the Kohen Zeh Karavoya, and he was a Kohen, and in other words, a Karav, Lehoya Lelitame, he shouldn't have been Metame. The Marie Materis Kahanim, the Ain Kohen Metame Lena Fallen. The Dumia, the Ova, the Imoi, Be'inan, B'nei Kayama. In other words, we're not talking about some mesmitz or something. He just wanted to go and determine for purposes of the gvirta, do we have 7 days, 33, 14, 66? So there was no need for him to get involved. So the kohen obviously was amoritz. He thought he's allowed to be matami, he's a karev. Now the question is, why does Tosis use such a strong term? Vaymari the kohen shaitahaya. How should say the kohen amoritzahaya? He misread the halacha. He assumed that this is a sibling and he's allowed to go and check and a karev and he's allowed to be metame. No, he's wrong because it's got to be a bar kayama. So I was learning with Rabbi Marcus in the koil yesterday. Rabbi Marcus is an enikol of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. And he said that his Zayda, when he was learning this Gemara and learning this Tosis, he says, you see from this Tosis that a person who thinks that he's a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he paskins a Shaila on his own without asking a Rav, he's not just an Amoritz, he's a Shaita. Because if he's not competent, if he doesn't have that Ksav that says you're allowed to go and paskin, you shouldn't be paskining, even though you think you know so much. You don't know so much, and therefore that gives him the shame, Shaita. Anyway, that's the story. But getting back over here, and that's why always have to ask the competent local Orthodox rabbi, and if he's not local, then, but it has to be competent. So getting back to our Gemara. So Gemara says, Nochamula, what happened over here, that the Koyin looked inside, and we have a Suffolk, maybe the Bardless, maybe the Chuldish slept it away, maybe not. And nevertheless, they think the Koyin is Tahar, so I see that a Suffolk is Moitzi Midei Vadai. Everything worked. Oh, in other words, what's going on over here? There was a major discharge. The Gevirta woke up in the morning and the bed was soaked from end to end, and she was afraid that this was a miscarriage. There was some meaty material, some substance over there besides all of the liquids. And she was concerned that it was a miscarriage. But in truth, they never took it to the laboratory or to the doctor, to the hospital. And maybe it was just a major discharge of fluids without having any fetus. Maybe she wasn't pregnant at all. She thought it was, but it was a heavy, heavy duty, tons of blood and all other types of liquids, etc. However, but it wasn't a navel after all. And if it wasn't a navel after all, then there is no din of tumma whatsoever. And so says the Gemara, it's true that the kohen looked inside and maybe the chulda took it, maybe the chulda didn't take it. That's correct. But maybe there wasn't a miscarriage in the first place. Maybe there was no fetus over here. Maybe it was just a bag of water. Gunish mit gunish. Says you might have a suffik for suffik. A suffik if you had tumor or fetus in the first place. You have a suffik where the chulda took it away. And therefore, a suffik is moitzi midei suffik. Freak tomorrow. That doesn't sound right. Because let's look at the price. It says, Voleide im Zocher hu im the Kevehi. Sounds like we know that there was a fetus. And we just want to check out the gender. Says the Gemara Hachik Omar. You have to add a couple of words. Leidim Ruach Epila im Nefel Epila. The Kohen went to see whether or not it was just Ruach. Ruach means just a lot of air. In other words, just a lot of liquid, but not a real Nefel. Or maybe it was a Nefel. Vim Tibzaloim a Nefel, and even if it turned out that it was a Nefel, he Pila, Leidim Zocher Hu im Nekevehi. But bottom line is, we don't have a case of a Safik Moitzi Midei Vadai. We have a case of a Safik Moitzi Midei Safik. That's Teretz number one. Viva Yisema, Teretz number two. Hasam Vadehu Vadehu. Even if I know for sure that it was a nafel, it was a miscarried fetus, it's another Vadeh. Kim Nechudu Ubardalis Mitsuyin Sham. Vadeh Garu Bahishaita. You have nothing to worry about. There's no question about it that they slept away whatever fetus there was, and therefore there's nothing left. So it's not a Safik and a Vadeh, it's a Vadeh and a Vadeh. Aye, how come in our Mishnah we said that if there's a chulda around and the chulda took the piece of chametz, chayshinan uboy bedika, maybe yes, maybe no. Why don't you go and say that just like over there that there's a chulda around and the chulda avada took it away. So say in our Mishnah also that if there's a chulda around that has that piece of chametz, vada took it away. Says the Gemara, What the Gemara says is over here is that it's true. In both cases, we got a chulda. In both cases, I know that the chulda is schlepping. The difference, however, is what did the chulda do with whatever it had after it schlepped it from its original mokai? In the case of the fetus, it certainly took the fetus out of the bar. And therefore, when the koyin is meitzitz v'toicha bar, when he's looking down into the bar, you know for sure that the chulda schlepped it away. What the chulda did with the fetus after that, I don't know. It could be that it's still lying around somewhere, but it's not in the bar. Therefore, the coin happens to be tohar. In our case, I know for sure that the chulda schlepped away the piece of chametz. True, but I don't know what he did with the chametz. It could be that he left it in another corner in the house. He took it away from bedroom A and he took it to bedroom C. He took it away from under a bed in bedroom A and put it under the bed in bedroom C. So, same thing over here. It could be that there was taka, not could be. We know there was a chulda mitzuyin cham. We rely on the fact that the chulda extracted and extricated and removed that fetus that was inside the bar. So when the kohen looked over it, it's empty. There's nothing left. There's no fetus left. But what he did with the fetus, I don't know. He could have left it here, there, and everywhere. In fact, if it, the bar was inside a house, which typically it would not be, it would be outside the field. If there's a chashash, maybe he brought it inside the house, you'd have to be concerned. Because that would also be an oil mess. But assuming that everything is talking about nechotzer out in the open, then you don't have to worry about anything. He schlepped it out and left it somewhere, just like the chometz left somewhere else.
So okay, you're saying that the whole doesn't necessarily he did all at the, he needs some over, but not necessarily at the.
We know the chulda schlepped it. What he did with it, I don't know.
Well, so, what was the question? The question was that maybe he left some. The chulda left some of the.
Just like if we're worried about that he left some of the chametz, maybe he left some of the fetus. Says he more. No, he didn't leave any fetus behind. He took everything as removed. So he took all the chametz away. It's true. He took the chametz out of room A, but he might have deposited in room B or room C. And same thing with the chulda in the case of the fetus. Might have taken it away from this bar and deposited another bar or out in the field somewhere else. Okay. So with this, we have finally concluded the discussion about the suffix moitzim de vadai, both in the case of the chover on the Amid Aleph, and in the case of this koyin here on the Amid Beis. The Gemara answered both times, it's not a suffix and a vadai, it's either both are sveikas, suffix and a suffix, or it's a vadai and a vadai. But in a case where you have a real suffix and a real vadai, ein suffix moitzim de vadai. Freik the Gemara. Let me ask you another question. We started off our mission. In other words, okay, the Gemara began by saying, it says in the Mishnah, but said the Gemara, but what happens if I actually saw the chulda having the piece of chometz in its hand? Then you have to be choishishu boi bedik. Fine, we already dealt with that. Now we're going back to the actual lashon of the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, you have a home, and you did your bedikah, you don't have to be choshish at some time during the bedikah, chulda came by and started schlepping chametz from an unboduk place, and then restored the chametz to the place that you already boited. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry. That's strange, because tomorrow, Amiyat Hashem, we're going to have a Mishnah on Yud Amid Beis, where the Mishnah says, if a person did bedikas chametz, he should be very careful about what any chametz which is left over, either that he found during the bedikah, or chametz he's leaving for next morning, like we typically, all at bedikas chametz night, we make sure to go and leave some chametz for the next morning for breakfast, whether it's a roll, whether it's cereal, whether it's a piece of bread, whatever, we leave it over. Says the Mishnah, Umashe Meshayir Yanichenu Betzina, put it away in a safe corner, Kidei Shlo Yehei Tzorech Bedika Achrav, so I shouldn't have to make another bedika the next day. So, Frey Timara, why do I have to worry about putting it away Betzina? You're telling me in choishin l'chulda. I'm not worried about chulda. So everybody in the family is going to be careful naturally. We all know it's Pesach is coming. So you only have to worry about the chulda. Our Mishnah says you don't have to worry about chuldas. And that Mishnah says you have to worry. Put in a mokoy mutzna in a safe drawer, in a safe cubby somewhere to make sure that the chulda doesn't get to it. Say tomorrow, umi omrin in choishin shemigar l'chulda v'oktani seifa. The seifa of the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah tomorrow, says, Masha Meshayer, Yani chano betzin, or put it in a nice safe corner somewhere. Shlo yitzorach medika acharov. Amar Abayis. Abayis says a fascinating teretz, and the Gemara is going to ask an even more fascinating kasha. Amar Abayis loy kasha. Har barba aser, har bishloisha aser. It depends what day of the month it is. At Bedikas Chometz night, the night between the 13th and the 14th, there's tons of chometz around throughout the town because there's no dinner beer chometz yet. So everybody just had dinner, or people are going to have dinner, and they have all different types of rolls and all different types of breads and lakshin kugel, all types of wonderful chometz. So therefore, says Abaye, that night when you're doing the Bedikas Chometz, the Chulda is running around and notices that there's huge inventories of chometz still hanging around, which have not been eaten yet. And therefore the Chulda does not have that yearning and craving to go and take some of the bread and put it away in safekeeping. Masha Enken, if you're talking about leaving over chometz for the next day in the morning, by that time there's not too much chometz left, just a small amount of chometz that you're leaving for breakfast, because after that all chometz is prohibited. And the chulda in the morning, when he sees that there's only, when it sees that there's only a little bit amount of chometz left, he says, I better put away some rolls for lunch. I see there's not going to be a lot of chometz around the next few days. I see, look what's going on. And therefore then I got to be concerned. At night when you're doing your bedika, the shchiach rifta bekulabati, there's still plenty of bread around, not only in my home, but in all my neighbors' homes. So the chulda is inspecting and investigating the scene. He says, I don't have to go and put any chametz away. There's plenty to go around. And so therefore, that the chulda is going to go be matzniya. Barba osar, on day 14, already the morning of breakfast, the shchiach, he goes from house to house to house. He says, hey, I looked in the freezer, there's nothing left. There are no cereal boxes left, no pancakes left, no lakshin kugel. Ay, 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 mitzna. I better go and take something quickly before they outlaw the eating and chametz. And therefore, that's why when you're leaving over any chametz for the next morning, put it in makom mutzna, that you don't have to worry that the chulda snatched it away. So we're talking about, obviously, a very, very observant chulda, not observant of Jewish law, but observant that it's a keen observer of what's going on in civilization, that the night before there's tons of chometz, I don't have to be matzniya. The next morning, the chulda realized, not so much chometz left, I better go and be matzniya. So that was the teretz that Rava gave. And now the Gemara asks, rhetorically, Zokti Gemara, Omer, that was the teretz of Abai, is Omer Rava, v'chi chulda neviyahi, is chulda a prophetess? The yodudu inna arbeiser, v'loi ofi adi orta, umeshayru metamra. In other words, you're giving the chulda far more credit than you should, because after all, a chulda is just a behemula. You think the behemula really is able to assess the situation the night before? There's tons of chametz around, and therefore we don't have to matzeya. Today, it's slim pickings. I don't know if they're going to go and make shmura matzah today or not. I don't know. Are they going to go bake? Who knows? I better put stuff away. Do you really give so much credit to the chulda? But notice the lashon of the Gemara, v'chi chulda neviyahi, which is, of course, a very strange lashon, is the chulda neviyah. And the reason why the Gemara uses this expression, because the Gemara is sending us a very subtle message. What subtle message are you talking about? Because Rabbi Yisai, if you are a baki in Tanakh, you know that in Melachim Beis, Kapitel Chav Beis, the Tanakh talks about that there was a Neviyah by the name of Chulda. And for those of you that never got to Melachim Beis, when you learn Masechtas Megillah, and you get that to Daf Yud Dalid, you'll see that the Gemara enumerates seven Neviyos that were in Klal Yisrael, and one of them was Chulda HaNeviyah. And so therefore the Gemara is really playing a pun, if you will, making a pun, and it's saying, is this Chulda of our Gemara, is that the famous Chulda HaNeviyah that's cited in Shas and in the Tanakh? Come on! This Chulda is not Neviyah. This Chulda is just a plain weasel. It's not the famous Chulda HaNeviyah. So it's a very cute pun, if you will.
Well, those are known to be very sly. They are known to be sly.
These weasels are sly?
I think so.
Okay.
Sly called weasels.
Uh-huh. Okay. I guess they weasel out of every situation. Beautiful.
Shkoyach.
Anyway, El Omer Rava. So therefore Rava says, I have a brand new teretz. Masha Mishayer Yanichenu Bitsina, Shematito Chulda Befaneno Vihetzorach Bedik Acharov. The Mishnah tomorrow agrees with the Mishnah today. You do not have to be choishish for the presence of a chulda. If you don't see a chulda, you don't have to worry. The reason why the Mishnah gives us an admonition tomorrow, put your chometz away in a good place, is not because afterwards, maybe there was a chulda, maybe there wasn't a chulda. Because maybe in the middle of the night when I wake up to take a drink, or maybe when I get up in the morning and I go into the kitchen, uh-oh, there's a weasel over there, and I actually see the weasel. Now that I see the weasel, I'm going to have to be concerned that maybe the weasel weaseled out a couple of Cheerios, or Wheaties, or whatever cereal like, or took a piece of bread, and deposited somewhere. And I'm going to have to make a brand new bedika. So the reason why the Chacham are saying, put it away in Mamokam Utsna, is not because I'm worried that in fact there will be a chulda, but rather they were concerned that if and when a chulda appears on the scene, you're going to have to make a new bedika, because that's what we learned in the Mishnah. Ein choishish in shem agir chulda, but if I see that there's a chulda deshakal, then I have to do a bedika. Therefore, the Chum gave us very sage advice: be smart, be careful, don't leave your chometz hanging around. So that was Rava's concern, and in fact, Tanya Kavasa de Rav, we have a Feirish Abraisa like Rava, Horeitza Lecho Chometz Achar B'dika, if you want to eat Chometz that night or the next morning, Ketzed Yasem, what should you do? Masha Mishai Yenechene B'tzina. You know why? Not because I'm worried that there will be a chulda, but just in case, Shloitavei chulda, in case there is a chulda around and will come on the scene, B'titol B'faneinu, and will take a piece of Chometz in front of our eyes. So this is no longer a chashash. This is, I see it with my own eyes. Beitzarach bedika, have to make a bedika acharav, and therefore, a word to the wise: put it away in a safe place, put it in a drawer, close up the drawer, make sure that a weasel cannot get to it. Rav Meri says, even if you don't see the weasel, but gzeira shem yaniach eser b'yim tzatesha. What happens if you left out 10 rolls or 10 slices of bread, and then you come the next morning for breakfast and you find that there are only 9 left? And you ask all family members, did anybody go and weasel out a piece of bread or roll over the night? And they say, no, we slept well and nobody ate anything, everything was fine. So how come there are only 9 pieces? Uh-oh, there must have been a weasel here. So the point is, I'm not choishish under normal circumstances that there was a weasel. But in case I come in the morning and I find that something is missing, then I know there seems to be a culprit, a weasel must be going around, and then I have to make a brand new batika. That's why put in a mokum amutzna, so that I know the next morning I'll find the same 10 rolls or the same slices, 10 slices of bread. Okay, so that was very exciting. From here until the end of today's daf, we're going to go through some halachos. What halacha are we going to go? Teishit tziburin shel matzah v'echad shel chametz. We have 9 peklach. A tziburin means a bundle of matzah, and 1 bundle of chametz. V'osa achbar, and a mouse came, v'shakal, and I saw he was nibbling away at one of the 2 bundles, and he took something, but lo yadinan imata shakli chametz shakal. I wasn't able to see what the achbar took, because when I came on the scene, the achbar saw me, and it kemachta pleite, he ran away. And I don't know if he ran away with a piece of matzah or a piece of chametz. And unfortunately, he ran into my house, and now I got a big problem. Do I have to make a bedik or not? It says the Gemara, L'choyre, that's the famous halach of the Teisha Chanoyos. Teisha Chanoyos means you have 9 stores. What's the halach if you have 9 stores? So if you skip a line, you'll see the Gemara brings the case of Ditnan. It's really Desani, it's a brighter. Teisha Chanoyos, I skipped a line, we're going to come back. Teisha Chanoyos, Kulan Moichrin Boser Shchuta, V'achas Moicheris Boser Nevela. I went to go and buy some meat. I was very absent-minded that day because I was so in a trance, worrying about the chulda that might or might not come onto my property, and might or might not come and take some of the chometz and move it from place to place. I was not focusing. And I went into a store, and I bought some meat. I come home, and my wife asks me, tell me, where did you buy the meat? Which one of the stores? I don't remember. I can't tell you. Really? You don't know? Did you buy it in the kosher meat store or the non-kosher meat store? I really don't know. I was such in a trance situation. I was so worried about this chulda, and chulda was a nevia. I just couldn't focus. So you don't know whether it was kosher meat, non-kosher meat. I don't know. V'lokach me'achas men v'niyadei me'ez men lokach. I just don't know. Sveikoi osur. Now, normally you would say, well, if nine of them are basa shchuta, and one of them is basa nevela, that's a 90% likelihood that it went into the kosher meat store, not in the kosher meat store, not in the non-kosher meat store. So the chayra, I should say, you go basa roiv and it's kosher. Halach is sveikoi osur. However, ubenimtza, if I found a piece of meat in the street, heilich acharoiv, then I can assume that it came from the kosher butcher store and not from the non-kosher butcher store. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is because we have a rule called kavua kemechtze al mechtze dam. Anything which is bekvias, like the nine stores and the tenth store, yes, it's in all likelihood I probably bought it in the kosher store. But since it's kavua, meaning that this non-kosher store doesn't go away, it doesn't become bottle in the other nine. That store is there. It's selling nevelas and treifas and chazarai and who knows what they're selling over there. Maybe dead bats coming from China. Maybe live bats. But the point is, it's that store is there and it doesn't get... I'm not talking about social events. I'm just trying to give, you know, graphic examples. Anyway, the point is you have nine selling kosher and one selling non-kosher. What happens if, absent-mindedly, I went into that non-kosher store? Are you going to say, what? Since it's a roiv, probably I bought kosher. Of course not. If I went into a non-kosher store, I bought non-kosher. You're right. In all likelihood, I went into one of the nine kosher stores, not into the non-kosher store. But if I don't know, kol kavua kemechza mechza dami, it blives like a 50-50 shaila, and the halacha is that it's osur. However, benimtza, if I find in the street, in other words, a nice cellophane packaged piece of meat, it doesn't say whether it has a hechsher or doesn't have a hechsher, I find it in the street in front of all of these stores, then I can go basarayf, because it probably came out. And that's what the halacha is called, a parish, meruba parish. Anything that left its original kvias, I assume it comes from the rife. Okay, so that's very exciting. So what does it have to do with us? So our Gemara says that if you have nine peklach all grouped together of matzah, and one pekel of chametz, and the achbar took from one of the peklach, and I don't know which one, if it's kavua, the nine are lying down nicely, tenth one is lying down nicely, then I don't know where the achbar took from the kosher, and from the non-kosher, from the chametz, from the matzah, called kavua kemechtzel mechtzedami, and therefore it's going to be osur. I have to assume that it's chametz, and therefore if the achbar is flying around your home, you're going to have to do a brand new bdikah. But pirish the osa achbar v'shakel, what happens if I noticed in front of the ten tziburim that there was something on the ground, it looked like full of gluten, but I couldn't tell whether it was a piece of chametz or a piece of matzah, and the achbar took it, oh, then I know safe, and then it's kosher, because called the parish, meruba parish. And that's the brisa we just said, the teisha chanoi is called moichris, so here too, the suffix is osur, and I have to assume that the achbar took a piece of chametz, even though it was outvoted 9-1. However, if he took a piece of chametz, just like if he found the meat, then you can assume that it was matzah, and it's fine. Now we have a similar case. You have two separate peklach. One pekla matzah, one pekla chametz. Lefneim shnei batim. And in front of these two peklach, there are two houses. Echad batik, v'nishen batik. One of the houses was already checked for chametz. They did a fine bedika. The other house is still awaiting a bedika that night. V'yosh shnei achbar. And now two mice came on the scene. Echad shokla matzah, v'echad shokla chametz. One of them took a piece of matzah, one took a piece of chametz. I know for sure, I saw matzah and chametz. V'lo yedin ha'ay l'hay ayil, b'hay l'hay ayil. And the two achbarim ran away. Where did they run into? They ran into the two batim. And one achbar ran into Bayis Echad, and the other one into Bayis Sheni. In other words, into two separate batim. And I don't know which achbar, which item went into which one. Meaning that it could very well be that the achbar with the matzah went into the home which was already boduk, and I don't have to do a new batika. Or on the other hand, maybe it took a piece of chametz, and I got to start from square one. Maybe there's a piece of chametz flying around somewhere in my house. I don't know. It says, that's the famous case of the shtei kupis. What's the case of shtei kupis? It's not. Shtei kupis, achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. We have two boxes. One box is full of regular chulin. In other words, all trumas and maizes were given. Chulin, you and I, everybody can eat it. The achas shel truma, the other one is truma, can only be eaten by the kohen. Lifnaim, and in front of these two big boxes, you have shnei soin. You have two containers that have the measure of a saw. Again, echad shulchum, the echad shulchum. And then, therefore, you have four items altogether: the two large boxes, one chul and one truma, and then you have the two soin, smaller containers, one of chul and one of truma. And menaf leilu zoychelu. And then somebody who meant very, very well decided, why do we have these two separate? So I see there's room in each one of these boxes. So he took one of the saw and he poured it into box one, and he took the other saw and poured it into box two. However, I don't know whether he poured the chulin into the chulin and the truma into the truma, which would be ideal. Or maybe he poured the truma into the chulin and the chulin into the truma, and therefore now everything will be a suffic truma, and now I can only be eaten by the kahanim. And of course it's worth much less, because there's much less of a demand for truma than there is for chulin. Voshtet in the Mishnah, mutarin. You can go and deem both kupois to remain one chulin and one truma. Sha'ani oimer, because I say that chulin l'toich chulin naflu, or truma l'toich truma nafla. That the chulin probably fell into the chulin, and the truma probably fell into the truma. Now this doesn't work with logic and rationale, because obviously there's at least a 50-50 chance that the chulin fell into the truma, and the truma fell into the chulin, not that automatically the chulin into the chulin, into the truma, into the truma. But as the Gemara is going to go and tell us shortly, the truma that we're talking about over here is a truma midrabanan. And the Rabbanan often gave leniencies, because after all, the whole chiv of Truma is a chumrid Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan built in exceptions to their rules. And one of the exceptions was, in such a situation, we are not sure, we have what we call Shani Oimer or Royin. Royin means that I will allow my mind to say that probably the chulin fell into the chulin, the truma came into the truma, even though there's really no basis in logic, but it's the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan said, Ryan, I'm going to give you a leniency. Okay, so says the Gemara, the same thing we'll hear by the Bedikas Chametz. I don't know which one the Achbar took. If I stop both Achbarim and say, hey, mouse, what did you do over here? Where did you go and take the Chametz? Where did you take the Matzah? Silent. They will not divulge their secrets. They are like weasels. So now the question is, which one did he take, the chametz or matzah? I'm going to be toila that the chametz went into the house that was einoy bodok, and the matzah went into the home that was already bodok. Same type of rain, same type of situation, same type of application of law. Frank Dimura, Eimad Damrin Shani Oimbe Trumad Rabbanan. Trumad Rabbanan, you can say that. Now, how do you have Trumad Rabbanan? Says Rashi, Bismanazeh. So Rashi's either talking about a chutzlaritz, or it's going to Madiyama, that like kitchen liyasad lavai. So all the Trumas that you're giving are Drabbanan. But Bechomet Diaraisa, me Amrinan. Chomet is not Taira. Lo Yimatzi Becha Chomet, Lo Yimatzi Lecha, Seor Becha Gvulecha, Lo Yirah Lecha Chomet, Lo Yirah Lecha. So what are we doing? It's Tach Diaraisa. How can you be Toilet? After the Gemara, Ot Bedikas Chomet, Diaraisa. Bedikas Chomet is not Minatoya. That's Drabbanani. To me Diaraisa, Bittul Bial Masagile. All you have to do is say before Pesach, Rabbi Yisai, if I have any chomets, even if I know for sure that I have chomets, kol chamira v'chamira de'irka b'shusi, de'chazita de'loi chazita, de'chamita de'loi chamita, le'havi hefker and bottle care for the aram, b'mavatla b'mavker, and just get rid of it. What's the reason why we have to go through this elaborate bedika process and burn all of the chomets? Bittul is enough, men atoyer. Like the Gemara said the other day, shem yimtze kluska yofa, he's going to go and see this beautiful, I say Danish, but Ed always corrects me and says, a roll? Okay, you're going to find this delicious looking roll. You know, that's what it said in the article, right? Anyway, so you're afraid that he's going to go and eat from it. Or, like the Rashi, the Gemara said, Daitilave, he's not going to want to be Mavatl. He's going to say, oh, this looks really good. Maybe I can put it away till after Yontif and I'll eat it later. Nah, I can't. But for that split second, he's going to be over by Yiro, by Yimotze, because he wants to go and be Konit and hold on to it. That's why we said, make a bedik in advance before Yom Tov. There shouldn't be any morsel, any scrap of chametz around. So these are dinim midrabanan. Ah, same Rabbanan said, since I don't know whether or not the chametz came into the house which is bodek or the house which was not bodek, Royin, I will allow for the leniency that you do not have to make a brand new bedika, because just like by Trabanan, by Truma I say Royin, here too, bedikas chametz, I also say Royin. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Mechem, to be continued tomorrow. Shkoyach, everyone. Thank you all for joining. Have a great day.